This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, Baruchim Abom, welcome everyone. This is really the final part of a series that we began about 4 years ago, which is based on a comment of the Yerushalmi, a comment of Shmuel and the Yerushalmi. Before we begin, the Shiurim on Sefer Vayikra are sponsored by the Zakheim family, Lo Nishmas Rav Shloima Eliezer ben Rav Yaakov. We thank their Mishpacha and Shem Shem Leo B'Yomel Tzorcher for their whole family, Adbias Gal Tzedek. The Shiurim are also sponsored anonymously, Lili Nishmas, my grandfather, Harav Mordechai Leib ben Rabbi Yosef Menachem, Gan Eden Teimenu Chasoy. And tonight's Shir is sponsored by our dear friend Ephraim Pinsauer, Lili Nishmas' father. The yard site is Chav Zayin Nisan, Yisrael Chaim ben Ephraim. We wish him on this occasion a Shem Hashem and Aliyah and be a male Sirsha for his whole family. Okay, so this is a series we began about 4 years ago. It's based on a mysterious comment in the Yerushalmi, where Shmuel says that in order to facilitate kavana by davening, what he does is he counts the birds. Now, what does that mean, Shmuel counts the birds? How does counting the birds, how would that facilitate kavana by davening? I mean, that's the last thing you would think would help a person have kavana, counting the birds. Some people count sheep before they go to sleep. Some people count birds before they go to sleep. But one would not think counting birds would facilitate kavana. And yet Shmuel says the way he's mechaving by davening is by counting the birds. What is the meaning of this mysterious teaching of Shmuel? And we unleashed and uncovered an entire sefer, which is called Beis Tefillah, written by Rav Yeshua Heller, one of the Talmidei Hagoyim. And he has just a fabulous interpretation of this. Because we know if you look in Parshas Shmini, there are 20 birds that are mentioned. The Nesher, Peres, Oznia, Da'a, Aya, Oirev, Bashayana, Tachmas, Shachaf, Nates, Kois, Sholach, Yanshuv, Tinshemes, Ka'os, Racham, Chasida, Anafa, Duchifas, and Atalef. And if you look in Parshas Re'eh, there are 21 birds mentioned. And if you count all the birds, it's over 21. Nevertheless, the Gemara in Chulin says the Da'a, the Aya, the Ra'a, the Da'ya, they're all the same bird. And based on this, says Rabbi Shua Heller, there are a total of 19 birds in Parshas Shemini and Re'eh. And of course, how many brachos are there in Shemona Esrei? 19 blessings in Shemona Esrei. Where's the 19 brachos in Shemona Esrei? Did I not? There are 19 brachos in Shemona Esrei. Well, if that's the case, if there are 19 brachos in Shemona Esrei, then the 19 birds that we have in the Parsha Shemini correspond to the 19 brachos of Shemona Esrei. And if you want to have an understanding of how to be mechavin and how to have the proper thoughts and feelings and hargashos and capture the imagery and to try to capture the type of focus one should have by each bracha of Shemona Esrei, if you study the personality and the nature of each particular bird, each bird will help us focus better on the bracha that corresponds to it. So, for instance, it's very interesting. The first bracha is the Nesher. Of course, by the first bird is the Nesher. And the Nesher corresponds to the first bracha of Shemona Esrei. Now, what do we know about the Nesher? We know the Nesher is the highest flying bird. Now, all the other birds carry its young in its arms because they're afraid an animal, a bird, is going to swoop down on them and take away their young. But the Nesher, which is the highest flying bird, carries its young on its wings because it's not afraid that anyone's going to take its young off of its wings. It's afraid someone's going to shoot it. So therefore, it says, better that the bullet hit me than to hit my young. So the ultimate mogin, the ultimate shield, is the eagle. So if you want to get a feel, what does it mean that God is the shield of Abraham? God is the Magen Avram. Think about what the eagle does. The eagle says, better that the bullet hit me. Like when Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim, Hashem had the Anani HaKavod lead us and then go behind us. And all the missiles that the Egyptians threw landed on the Anan Yaakov. God said, better for me to take it on the chin for the Jewish people than for them to be harmed. So if you want to get the imagery and the feel, what does it mean that Ribbono Shel Olam is Magen Avraham? Study the bird that corresponds to the first bracha of Shemoneh Esrei, which is the Nesher. And the Nesher gives us the right feel and the right understanding of what the meaning of Magen Avraham is. And the Divrei Yehoshua in the Sefer Beis Hillel went on to explain the second bird is the Peres and the Oznia. The Oznia is a lashon of Oiz, strength that corresponds to Yitzchak and Gevurois and Chias HaMeisim. And the Peres, which means half and half, corresponds to Yaakov Avinu, which is the third bracha, which is the combination of Chesed and Gevura. And then amazingly, the Rabbi Shua Heller explained that in Vayikra, it says the Da'a and the Aya. Now in Parshas Re'eh, instead of Da'a and the Aya, we have the Ra'a, the Aya, and the Da'a. In other words, if we go in Parshas Re'eh, instead of what we see over here, the Da'a and the Aya, we have different birds. What do we have there? We have, sorry, what? We have, yeah, we have the Ra'a, Aya, and Daya. Because in Nusach Ashkenaz, we say, Ata chinin l'adam das. Da'a corresponds to das. Umelamid l'anosh bina, Aya corresponds to bina, like the Pasuk says, Ubina aye timatze. Chonenu meyitcha deya, bina v'haskel. So we didn't have deya yet. We had Ata chinin l'adam das. So the first bird in Re'e is Ra'a. Chareim is Hadeya, Bina is Aya, the Haskel is the Daya. So each bird corresponds to the next bracha. And then the Divrei Yehoshua went on to explain that in Tshuva, a person, the next bracha of Shemoneh Esrei is Tshuva. And when a person does Tshuva, they start off black, and then they want to whiten themselves, which is the opposite of the Oirev, which is born white. And then when they become mature, they turn black. And then the next bracha is Slicha. Slicha is forgiveness. In order to gain a forgiveness, you need to cry out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Which bird is always crying in Tanakh? The ostrich is always crying out. And then after the bracha of Slicha, we have Re'ev Anyenu, God should see our affliction. The Tachmas is a lashon of Chamas. God should see the affliction that we suffer from treachery. And then followed by the Shachaf. The Shachaf is a referring to Rifa'inu, because one of the sicknesses in the Torah is Shachefes, and so on and so forth. So if you want to get all the birds, you can listen to parts 1 through 5 of the bird series. But tonight, we move on to the final 4 brachos of Shemoneh Esrei, beginning with Shema Koleinu. And the 16th bracha of Shemoneh Esrei is Shema Koleinu. We go to the 16th bird, the Chasida. Azriel, what's the Chasida? A chassid, exactly, a stork. And tonight we're going to learn why chassidim are called storks. Now, this corresponds to the bracha of tefillah. Now, corresponding to tefillah, we need to know there are 3 important ingredients in tefillah. For tefillah to be successful, you need to do 3 things. Number 1, you need to pray with a minyan. Because the Gemara tells us that when a person davens, his tefillah will not be accepted until he davens with, until he puts his heart on his sleeve. In other words, until he davens with all his kavana. So Gemara says, not true. But Shmuel said that even if you daven glibly and without any kavana, Hashem accepts your tefillah. And the Gemara answers, it depends. When you daven with a tzibur, Hashem answers you even if you don't have kavana. When you daven with a yachid, with an individual, you better have kavana. So one of the important qualities of davening is davening with a minyan. Because when you daven by yourself, God examines every word of tefillah you say. And if it's not with kavana, it's very much, Hashem is very, scrutinizes every word of tefillah unless you daven b'tzibur. Yeah. Then you have no choice. but you still have to, you know, then it becomes imperative to daven with extra kavana, because when a person doesn't daven with a minyan, then every word is scrutinized. Now, when you daven with a minyan, then it's a very big chesed, because you're doing your friend a favor, because without you, his tefillah would not be accepted. So the ultimate chesed is to daven with the tzibur. What other ingredients are there in davening? The other ingredient is to be toivel in a mikvah. Now, many are not careful about that today, because the Gemara says that the elders in the times of Chazal abolished Tfilas Ezra, which means originally they enacted that if somebody is Tameh, if somebody had relations, or if someone's a Baal Keri, then they have to go to the mikvah. If they don't go to the mikvah, they can't daven. And the Gemara says they abolished that practice, that one is allowed to daven without going to the mikvah. However, some Rishonim learn, they abolished that for learning and for vila. The Rif, on the other hand, holds that even Bizman Hazeh, one may not daven without going to the mikvah if they're a Baal Keri. Now, we don't necessarily paskin like the Rif, we paskin you're allowed to daven, but there's certainly such a shita. Now, technically, one would have to go to the mikvah for learning also, according to the original enactment of the Gemara, but there's a way around it. Namely, you could think in learning. So even if a person's Tameh, even according to in the times that you had to go to the mikvah, you could avoid going to the mikvah by not learning with speaking, but just merely by thinking in your learning. However, tefillah, originally, one would have to go to the mikvah in order to daven. And the third ingredient in tefillah is you need to know the various times. Shabbos davening is different than weekday davening, is different than Rosh Chodesh davening, is different than Yom Tov davening. You have to know the Zmanei Tefillah at certain times. You can't daven anymore. Sometimes a person always has to be aware of Zman Kriya Shema, Zman Tefillah, Shkia, and so on and so forth. So the bird that corresponds to the bracha of Shema Koileinu is the Chasida, the stork. Because there are three things we know about the stork. Number one, the Gemara in Chulin says, why is a chasida called a chasida if in fact it's just the daya levana? So the Gemara says it does chesed to its friends. So the greatest chesed is when a person davens with a minion, because you're helping your friend's tefillah be nisgabel. So if you want to know what the important ingredients of tefillah are, study the characteristics of the stork. Namely, the stork shows kindness to its friends. So the first important ingredient of tefillah is you have to show the community kindness by davening with a minyan. Number two, the Gra reveals an amazing thing. The practice of the chasida is that after Tashmish Amita, it always goes to the mikvah. It always dunks in the river. That's what the Gra says. Now, Chazal say a little differently. Chazal say the chasida is a very promiscuous bird. So it's mezaneh, and so that its mate doesn't know it's mezaneh, it washes itself off so they shouldn't smell somebody else. But the Gra understands that it's an act of purity, that after it has relations, it goes to the mikvah. So if you want to know what's the second important ingredient in the mikvah, in tefillah, think about the stork. The stork is busy in the mikvah. Which mikvah? The Vishnitzer mikvah, the Satmar mikvah, whichever mikvah it goes to. Now, you'll say, oh, come on, I don't go to the mikvah. I'm not, now. But by the way, now you know why a chassid is called a stork. Because, you know, chassidim go to the mikvah, like storks, you know. That's where it comes from. Where do you think it comes from? Especially breasts of chassidim, they're white, they wear white. But besides that, why are chassidim called chassidim? Because the birds that they're named after, they go to the mikvah. Okay. You heard it here first. Now you say, okay, I don't go to the mikvah. Yeah, halacha, you're allowed to daven, even if a person's tameh. But there is a requirement of ruchitza before davening, which means that before every tefillah, shachris, mincha, marav, you must wash your hands. So it means you come to shul for mincha, you have to wash your hands. Oh, my hands aren't dirty. It doesn't matter. You have to wash them. You have to wash your hands for mincha. You also have to wash your hands for marav. It's just if you daven mincha marav back to back and you're not mesiach das, then the washing for mincha covers for marav. And therefore, we come to a very important halacha. When you wake up in the morning, the first thing you got to do is you have to wash negel vasar. Because during the nighttime, your soul goes up to heaven. And when the soul leaves the body, all the forces of the impurity connect themselves to the body. And the body is tummy. So when you wake up in the morning, you want to wash your hands. You're not allowed to touch your orifices before you wash your hands. You don't want to get tumma in your eyes. Even if your eye is closed, you can't put your finger on top of your eye, on top of your ear. You have to wash your hands first thing in the morning. That is to remove ruach ra'a, and it has nothing to do with davening. Then you go to the bathroom, you get dressed, your hands are dirty again. You wash your hands a second time before you're ready to daven, either right before you leave your house or in the shul. So you're saying, does that mean I have to wash my hands twice in the morning? Absolutely. A Jew has to wash their hands twice every morning. First thing when you wake up, and then again for prayer. When you wash your hands for prayer, you make a bracha. You know what bracha you make? Asher kedushanu b'mitzvos v'tzivanu al netilas yadayim. What do you mean? I'm not eating bread. No, this is not for bread. This is for tefillah. Chazal were masakin netilas yadayim for shachris. We wash for mincha marav as well, but we don't make a bracha. But in the morning, we make a bracha. So cleanliness, whether it's immersion in a mikvah or washing your hands, is a critical part of tefillah. That's the other characteristic of the stork. So if you want to think about what is important for davening, think about the stork. The stork does chesed to its friends, which reminds us to daven with a minyan. The stork goes to the mikvah. And the third thing we know about the stork, look at number three. It says, Gam chasida bashamayim yadam ayadeha. The stork knows the times. So he knows Alois HaShachar, he knows Netzachama, he knows Shkia, he knows Tzeis HaKoychovim, he knows Chatzos HaLaila. That is the third ingredient of the stork. Okay, Marv Raboisai, that is blessing number 16. We now come to blessing number 17. You have the right sheet? I think you have mine. You probably part one, right? You have Chelek Vav? We now come to the 17th bracha. What's the 17th bracha, Azriel? Ritzeh. What is the prayer of Ritzeh? We're asking God, accept our prayer. Ratzayin, favor, goodwill. What is the opposite of goodwill? Bad will. Azriel, very good. You must have had chicken soup with matzo balls last Friday night. No? Rubik's Cube. The opposite of goodwill is anger. Kas and Ratzon are opposite, like we say in Pirkei Avos. Noyach lirtzois, v'noyach lichois. Noyach lichois, v'noyach lirtzois. Ratzon and Kas are opposites. Now, the purpose of karbonos is to gain God's ratzon, favor. Like we say, I don't even know if the sound's working tonight. How does the next part go? The Mizbeach brings ratzayin, goodwill. So the Mizbeach brings goodwill, and the opposite of goodwill is anger. That means the karbonos overcome God's kas. If Hashem is b'charoin af, the karbonos gain God's ratzayin. Or like the pasuk says in Malachi, the lakachas ratzayin miyedchem. Except the carbon is called ratzayin. Now, what part of the body is anger associated with? You get angry in your what? Voice? Heart? Fingers, liver, kidneys, blood, charoin, af. You get angry in your nose. How do we say anger? I thank you, Hashem, that you got angry at me. Af, anaf. Anger is referenced by the nose. Or like Rivka tells Yaakov, ad shuv af achicha. Not until your brother's nose returns, but until your brother's anger is reverted. So anger is associated with the nose. Well, if anger is associated with the nose and karbanos overcome anger, where will karbanos be accepted? In the what of Hashem? In the figurative nose of Hashem, like the pasuk says. Yasimu kitayra. Yasimu kitayra be'apecha. The kitaris will be rise up in your nose. Or vayarach Hashem. Esrecha anichayach. Hashem smelled the karbanos. Because anger is in the nose and goodwill is in the nose, and karbanos create goodwill, and therefore they are accepted in the nose. Therefore, the next bird that corresponds to Ritzei is the anafa. The anafa is the dayaragzonos. First of all, the word anafa sounds like the angry-nosed bird, like angry birds. And it's called Dayaragzonis, the angry bird. Why? So the Gemara in Chulin says it commits adultery. It's mena'if with its friends. However, says Rabbi Yeshua Heller, in his opinion, the reason why the bird that corresponds to Ritzei is called the anger bird, because since the purpose of Ritzei is to gain God's goodwill, Ratzoin Ritzei Hashem Leikin Ba'am Chayisah, Hashem should find favor with us and accept our karbanos, and the opposite of favor is anger, and anger rises up in the nose, and good favor rises up in the nose, and karbanos are associated with Hashem's sense of smell, so to speak. Therefore, the bird that represents God accepting our prayer and our karbanos is the bird that is referenced by the nose, the anafa, the bird of the nose, the bird of anger. Because if you want to know what is Ritzei trying to accomplish, it's trying to overcome, trying to elicit, trying to engender the goodwill and the ratzon of Hashem to overcome Hashem's kas and to find ratzon with us. You like that? Not bad. We get up to blessing number 18. Moedim. Moedim, anachnu lach. We thank you, Hashem. Which is the 18th bird in Shemini. The duchifas, which is the mountain chicken. Now, by the way, what do we know about the mountain chicken? Do you remember there was once upon a time a king named Solomon, and he wanted to build the Beis HaMikdash. And in order to build the Beis HaMikdash, you need stone. In order to carve out the stone from the mountain, you need a special worm. What's the worm called? The Shamir worm, right? And the only one who knows where the Shamir worm is, says Gemara in Gittin on Samach Chesam Beis, and the Gemara in Chulin Adaf Samach Gimel Amar Aleph, is the Duchifas, which is the Nagartura, the mountain bird. And the Nagartura was able to get the Shamir worm for Shlomo HaMelech. Now, what do we know about the Duchifas? Azriel, we know one thing about the Duchifas. It comes before the Ataleif. And another thing we know about it, aside from the fact that it comes after the Anafa, is that it has a comb. It has like a, the hair on top of its head of a rooster. But its comb, how do you say the comb of a bird in Hebrew? Haidai. Interesting. Haid. Thank, gratitude. It's, the Gemara in Chulin says number 14, Haidai kapais. Its comb is thick. Rashi says, karbaltai ava. And it looks like it's bent into its head and it's bent over. Wow, what do we do by Moedim? You bend over in gratitude. So the bird that represents Moedim is the Duchifas, which has this bent over comb, what do you call the comb? Haidai. It's comb, it's gratitude, it's feathers of gratitude, and it's bent over. So it looks like it's saying Moedim. Amazing. The comb of the Haidai bird, of the Duchifas, the comb, the hoidai, is kapois, which represents the bracha of Moedim. So that's an amazing thing. The bracha, the bird that corresponds to Moedim, is the bird that has a bent over hoid, a bent over display of gratitude. That's pretty remarkable. You like that, Mr. Sultan? Thank you for joining us. I don't think ever, have I seen you on this year? Welcome. Okay. In any event, the Rabbi Yeshua Heller then analyzes a whole series of psukim in Iyov to uncover a very interesting aspect of human nature and an interesting aspect of this duchifas, which is called the Nagar Tura, or the Tarnagol Bara, the wild chicken. And that is, take a look in the Pesukim in Iyov in number 17. Knaf, I'm going to read and translate. And actually, the English translation did not translate these Pesukim accurately, as we're going to see in Rabbi Yeshua Heller. Please take a look at number 17. Knaf, the Pesuk says as follows. Knaf rimna nimne elasa. The wings of the ostriches is a delight. We're going to see the renonim is actually not the ostrich, contrary to its translation in the English, but rather it's referring to the duchifas, as the Targum Yonasan ben Uziel translates it, as tarnagol bara. Im evra chasid avenoitza, the stork with its pinion and feathers. These two birds do something rather odd. Most birds, they lay eggs where? Ira. A bird. No, you have birds in your backyard? On occasion. What kind of birds do you have?
Well, we have red cardinals.
Cardinals. I got some cardinals. You have any of those green parrots in your backyard?
Don't think too many green parrots.
No. There are a bunch in your neighborhood. You know that?
There's a guy that has
I'm an expert in the nature trail over there. But,
you see him in the street.
Yeah. So the most birds lay eggs in the tree, and that one would think is a smart thing to do because it's high up and it's safe from predators. But there are two birds that are ibr chachamim. You know, they want to outsmart everybody. That is the renonim, which we're going to see is the duchifas, and the stork. You know what they say? We don't want to lay eggs up in the tree. What if the egg falls out of the tree? It's going to crack open. Azriel, what happens to an egg if it falls out of a tree? Azriel?
I would say that it cracks.
Cracks. So these birds are afraid. So you know what they do? They go to an uninhabited area and they put the egg in the sand, and the sand is usually warm. And the warm sand allows the egg to develop and to hatch. Kisazoiv la'aretz beitza. It forsakes in the earth its eggs v'al ofar techamim. And it is warmed in the dust. Vatishkach ki regel tizureha. It forgets that it will be trampled by foot. V'chayas asada tidushena, and it will be stepped on by the wild animals. Hikshiach b'baneha l'layla. She forgets. She becomes hardened to her children as if they're not hers. Larik yegia b'lifachad. It toils in vain without fear. Now, why does it do that? You see, it thinks it's smart. Most birds put its eggs up in the tree, but it's afraid the egg is going to fall out of the tree. So what does it do? It puts the egg in the sand, but it's completely absent-minded to the fact that an animal could come along and step on it and destroy it. Now, why doesn't it think about that possibility? You know why? Because kihisha eloika chachma, God removed all wisdom from her heart. V'lecholak lava bina, never endowed her with bina. Says Rabbi Yeshua Heller, it's not that these birds are evil or mean, and he brings a proof from the Gemara in Bechayrois, that the Gemara asks that actually the renonim is very kind to the bird, to its young, but it just, so to speak, doesn't think about all the possibilities. And it gives the following illustration of the foibles of human nature. You know, human nature, says Rabbi Yeshua Heller, is man always thinks, how could I accumulate more and more money and put away my assets and put away my resources so I don't have to work as much and I don't have to work as hard? And not only that, man is always thinking about how could I put away my assets so my children could have my, could inherit my estate and inherit my money and they'll have a good life. And man is always planning and scheming. How do I get around? Well, if I have too much money to Yarsh and to them, they're going to be taxed. So I'll give them small gifts before I go. And this way, man has it all planned out, how he's going to hold on to his money forever and ever, if not him, his children, his grandchildren, until the end of time. And if somebody sort of lives the good life, and doesn't have to work so hard. They look at a guy who's schwitzing and waking up early in the morning and really putting in a full day's work, and he thinks to himself, oh, that guy is a loy yitzlach. He doesn't understand how this world works. The guy is, he's not as successful as I am. But very often in life, man's plans, a man's machinations, a man's schemes, they backfire. And in time is treacherous, time is bogeyed. And sometimes within the flash of an eye, sometimes within keharafayim, a person's fortune could completely change. And all of a person's plans and schemes, every plan he thought would bring him success could backfire. And it's because the Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't endow us with as much bina as we think. In other words, why aren't people more grateful to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Because basically you have two choices in this world. You could throw your eggs in God's basket, or you could put in your own basket. You throw your eggs in your own basket, so you think everything in life is dependent on your ingenuity and your planning and your scheming. And then if things are good, you say, it was all me. I'm successful because I was industrious and I had good ideas. And if you're not successful, I blew it. And such a person will have a hard time showing gratitude to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But someone who realizes that Al Chayenu Hamasurim Biyadecha V'Anish Moseinu Apkudo Islach, that all of man's fortune and success or lack thereof is all beyond HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So a person realizes that everything he has in every moment of life is dependent on the good graces of the Almighty. And that is the attitude necessary to have true Haidah. So the bird that represents proper Haidah is the Duchifas. Why? Because the Duchifas, he thinks he's so smart, he puts his egg in the sand. Little does he know how stupid he is. Because he puts the egg in the sand, the animals step on the egg, humans step on the egg, and he is leaving his entire mazel up to his own fortune instead of leaving it up in the nest and leaving it up to, so to speak, the mazel that God gave him. And this is, therefore, says Rabbi Shua Heller, the attitude one has to avoid in order to have difficulty thanking Hashem. If a person is going to leave their whole life up to their planning, and, you know, some people have their whole life planned out, every detail of their life has to be oiskerechen and gecheshbind, and it's hard to have gratitude to Hashem under such a life, because the person thinks it's all because of what he did. So the Hashem teaches Eiv through the Duchifas not to plan every single last detail out in life. Sometimes you could rest things in the hands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and if one does that, it's easier to come to gratitude. That is the 18th bird of the birds in Parashat Shmini, corresponding to the 18th bracha of Shemoneh Esrei. And Marv Rabbeisai, now we come to the bird you've all been waiting for. The Ataleph, which Rashi in Chulin translates as a mouse with wings. What do you call a mouse with wings? A bat. Now we're going to see, it's going to be difficult to really say that it is referring to a bat because of certain characteristic the Gemara gives, but nevertheless, let's, for the sake of simplicity, we're going to call the 19th bird a bat. And the bird of a bat, the bat bird, corresponds to shalom, peace. Now how does the bat, correspond to peace? Well, sometimes a bat could bring a lot of lack of peace. For example, when a bat escapes from a laboratory in Wuhan, it could create a lot of turmoil in the world. So bats don't always bring peace, but as Rabbi Shua Heller says, the bird that corresponds to the bracha in Shemoneh Esrei sometimes is the antithesis of what the bracha in Shemoneh Esrei is supposed to accomplish. So let's try to study the bat based on the connection between the bat and the blessing of shalom. The Gemara in Shabbos says, on Daf Kuf Nun Beis, Rebbe said to Reb Shimon ben Chalafta, Reb Shimon, why didn't you visit me on Yom Tov? You know, you're supposed to visit your Rebbe on Yom Tov. You're supposed to be Mekabel Pnei Rabbi B'moyed. You know that? You have to visit your Rebbe on Chol HaMoed. Actually, on Yom Tov. Actually, the Gemara derives it from a pasuk. Loi Shabbos Hayoim v'loi Chodesh Hayoim. That the Isha Shunamis came, wanted to visit Elisha, and the husband said, why are you visiting the rabbi? It's not Rosh Chodesh, it's not Shabbos. From which we possibly derive, you should visit your Rebbe on Rosh Chodesh. I have a good friend of mine. Every Rosh Chodesh, he knocks on my door. I always say, what are you doing here? Rosh Chodesh, you have to visit your Rebbe. I have a chaver. He's Mekai in the Salacha. I don't know anybody else who does this, but it's Miyusad in the Gemara. But at the very least, on Yom Tov. Now, why don't we do this anymore? There's an interesting tshuva on the Noid B'Yehuda. That the Noid B'Yehuda says, it stems from visiting HaKadosh Baruch Hu on the Shalosh Regalim. So since Bizman Hazeh, we're not Oilei Regel, how could the Kavod of the Rebbe be greater than the Kavod of Hashem? So since we're not Oilei Regel, so we're not Mekayim anymore visiting the Rebbe on Yom Tov. So Rebbe asked Rav Shimon Chalaf the new, why didn't you visit me? So he said like this, the rocks became higher, which means I'm old. Someone who used to be close is far. I can't travel like I used to. Mishtayim na'asu shalosh, two became three. I used to have two legs. Now I have three. What did he mean, now I have three legs? Now I have a cane. Mesim shalom bebayis batel. That which makes peace in the house is not operational. What does that mean? That which makes peace in the house is not operational, says Rashi. The reproductive organ, it's not operational. I'm an old man, meaning I can't come visit you, I'm an old man. But he refers to the Aver of Tashmish as Mesim Shalom, that which makes peace. So we see there's a connection between Zivug, marital relations, and peace. That's what it does. It accomplishes shalom. It accomplishes shalom bias. Bear that in mind. Zivug creates shalom. Mesim shalom, that which creates peace, is batel. He said he's an old man. Now we're going to learn a Gemara in Brachos. I'm sure you've all heard this Gemara a million times. Reb Chaim heard this Gemara many, many times. But we're going to say a new pshat. Okay? Maybe you didn't hear this pshat before. Reb Elazar says, there are three mishmarois in the night. Gemara Brachos Daf Gimel. Every night has three watches. On every mishmar, God sits and roars like a lion. So every 4 hours, there is a watch in the night. What? And these watches are demarcated by certain natural phenomena. So 4 hours into the night is, the Gemara says, Mishmara Rishayna Chamar Noyar, the donkey brays. Shnia, the second Mishmar, Klavim Tsayakim, the dogs bark. Shlishis, the third Mishmar, Tinaik Yonik Mishteimai, a child suckles from his mother, V'isha Misaper Sambala, and a husband, a woman speaks to her husband. You ever hear that Gemara? Avada, it's a famous Gemara. The Gemara says the night is broken up into three guards. The first guard, the donkey brays. The second guard, the dogs bark. The third guard, what happens? A woman speaks to her husband and a baby suckles from its mother. Says the Holy Zohar HaKadosh, Bris Mila, the Ois Bris Kodesh, Zivug is connected to Shalom. Pinchas, because he was zealous regarding the abuse of the Bris Mila of Zimri, God gave him the blessing of peace. The Zohar says, Sim Shalom is keneged the Bris Kodesh. Yaakov Avinu is keneged the Brach of Shalom. How's that? Avois is Avraham. Gevurois is Yitzchak. Kedusha is Yaakov, right? You know that? The first Bracha, Magen Avraham. Atagibar, Yitzchak was Gevurois, is Yitzchak Avinu. Yaakov is Kadosh, Ata Kadosh. But the same way the first three brachos of Shemona Esrei correspond to the Avos, the last three brachos correspond to the Avos. Ritzei is Avraham. Moedim is Yitzchak. Yaakov Avinu is Shalom. Like the Pasuk says, Urei Vanim Levanecha Shalom Al Yisrael. Shalom belongs to Yaakov, to Yisrael. Shalom is the mid of Yaakov. Why? Because Yaakov Avinu makes shalom between the midah of Avraham. Daniel, what's the midah of Avraham? Chesed. Rabbi Yitzchak. Rabbi Isaac. What's the midah of Yitzchak? Gevurais. Din. So we have Avraham as chesed. Who comes from Avraham? Yishmael. Who takes chesed to the extreme? What is Yishmael compared to? Donkey. Yitzchak is midas hadin. What's the extreme of Yitzchak? Esav, Amalek, the dog. So Avraham is gematria chamor without the vav. Yishmael comes from Avraham. The first mishmar of the night is Yishmael, the donkey. The first mishmar of the day is Avraham. That's why you could daven shachris until 4 hours into the day. 4 hours into the day is Avraham. 4 hours into the night is Yishmael. The next mishmar, mincha, is the next segment of the day. The next segment of the night are the dogs. Who are the dogs? Esav, Amalek. And the confluence of Avraham and Yitzchak, of Chesed and Din, is Yaakov. Yaakov makes shalom between Avraham and Yitzchak. So Yaakov is associated with peace. Now, we have a concept, Midas HaChesed and Midas HaDin, Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebapeh. And Yaakov Avinu combines the two. Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebapeh, husband talks to wife. That's a combination of Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebapeh. But there's no real shalom until there's a child. Urei banim levanecha shalom. For peace, you need the child. If you have a husband and wife in the house, without children, things get a little, you know, get a little testy. The child brings them together. Urei banim levanecha shalom al Yisrael. Therefore, says Rabbi Shua Heller, the three mishmaros of the night represent the three avos and that which comes out from them. What comes out from Avraham? Chamor Noyer, the braying donkey, is the first mishmar. What's the second mishmar? The dogs barking, that comes out of Yitzchak Avinu. That's the second mishmar of the night. But the ultimate peace and the ultimate confluence of Avraham and Yitzchak is the husband who talks to the wife. That's the combination of the two midos, Tar Shebichsav and Tar Shebapeh, from which comes Tinoik Yoinek Mishadei Imai. Suckling from the Dadeha of the mother is analogous to learning Torah. Like Chazal say, the same way a child, when he nurses from the mother, he always experiences new flavor. So too, when you learn Torah, you always experience new insight. So the ultimate symbol of peace is the husband talking to the wife, which is representative of the zivug, from which is produced a child who nurses from the mother. Nursing is the ultimate symbol of shalom. Do any birds nurse? No. The definition of a bird is it lays an egg and it gathers food for its young. But there is one bird that the Torah classifies as a bird, even though we would classify it as a mammal, that number one, the Gemara says it lays eggs, even though biologically the bat does not lay eggs. But the Gemara says it lays eggs, so maybe the Gemara had some type of different creature that's referring to. And the Gemara says it nurses its young. The only flying creature that nurses, the only bird that nurses young is, they have the duck-billed platypus, which I was zoicha to see. Let's see if anyone here is on the shir who was with me when I saw the duckbill platypus. Nope. Sometimes my friend from when I went down under, I figured if I'm going to Australia, you know, I collect magnets. My vice is I collect magnets. I like collecting magnets from the different makoimais. So I went to Gold's Sfarim store in Australia. And one of my favorite magnets is this yellow map of Australia magnet. And it says, Australia, what a schlep. That's one of my favorite magnets. Anyway, so I went to a zoo. And in the zoo, there's a cage. Turn around. Everyone turn around. Look at those black windows. That's what the cage looked like. You can't see. It's pitch black inside the cage. What's inside? A duck-billed platypus. So we're looking inside. It has to be mammoth, pitch black for this creature. One of the most bizarre looking creatures. It's like a thin duck snake with a bill, you know, that's what it looks, but it likes the dark. So I said, if you go there, don't take out your phone and shine the flashlight on it. They're going to, you know, you can't do that. But the duck-billed platypus is not mentioned in Parsha Shmini, but the Atalef is mentioned. The Gemara in Bechoroi says any bird that gives birth to its young, nurses its young. Any creature that lays eggs, gathers food for its young. The only creature that's a hybrid that gives birth, meaning doesn't lay eggs, but nurses, the only creature that lays eggs and nurses is a bat. That's what the Gemara says, the Atalef. So either Atalef is not a bat, or the Gemara's bats were different. But the Gemara says the Atalef is the hybrid between birds and mammals. In other words, it has regular gestation. Is that what it's called? Regular pregnancy. It carries its young. It doesn't lay an egg, but it nurses. So that's the ultimate symbol of Shalem. As the Gemara says, the ultimate symbol is when Ish is Misaperes Li'isha, and the Tinoik Yoinek Mishadei Imai, the nursing is the ultimate sign of Shalom. The only bird in the Torah that nurses is the bat. The bat is a symbol of peace. Peace is representative of the union of husband and wife and the Shmira of the Ois Bris Kodesh. So these, my friends, are the, this is the symbol of Shalom. The symbol of Sim Shalom is the bat. And it's quite ironic that most of the turmoil over the last 13 months was over some kind of supposed bat, but it's all dependent on the bat. When I was in camp once in Pennsylvania, we had bats inside the bunk, and they are not pleasant creatures. If anybody has any insight into what the Gemara means, that they lay eggs and they nurse, I would love to hear about it. But I think one thing we could take away from this whole exposition is that you read in the Torah these 19 birds, and what Rabbi Shua Heller writes in his introduction to the subject is that these are the 19 birds that are representative on the entire of the entire gamut of creation. God made 19 birds. They are reflective of the entire gamut of everything under the sun. And therefore, the blessings of Shemoneh Esrei correspond to these 19 birds. And you could be sure that the Anshei Knesset Gedolim, when they formulated Shemoneh Esrei, they saw in these 19 birds how they're reflective of all aspects of creation. And therefore, they jam-packed all 19 brachos of Shemoneh Esrei with prayers for anything that a human being could possibly want and need and be mispalo for. So if you want to get a more graphic picture of what does it mean Hashem is our shield? What does it mean? So think about the nesher, the ego. What does it mean to do tshuva and to really cry to Hashem? Think about the ostrich. By the way, another aspect of forgiveness is you can't ever go back to the sin. Like the ostrich can't walk backwards, you know? That's just a little addition. Or the raven, if you want to know what you need to do tshuva, the opposite of the raven. You need to, from black, turn white. And studying these birds will give us a deeper insight into the various brachas that we say. And the recap of tonight is Shema Koleinu is the stork, which does chesed. He goes to minyan. He's toivel in the mikvah. He knows the various times. Ritzei, which we're trying to gain Hashem's favor through the anafa, which is the bird of anger. We're trying to overcome Hashem's kas. The brach of moedim is a duchifas that has the doubled crown as if it's bending over. And finally, the atalef, which is the bat, which is the ultimate symbol of shalom. And I am mevarech everyone, you should be zoiche to the great symbol of peace, which is not the dove, which is the bat. So next time, you know, you want to give somebody the symbol of peace, you could flash the bat symbol. And we should be zoiche, urevonim, levanecha, shalom, al Yisrael. Thank you for coming. Agotanach.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.